Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm your host, Minister Shanette Peterkin. We're here tonight with our panel and our continued discussion of the Word of God from the book of Hebrews. Now, we were dealing with Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, talking about those who go on or have faith to the gaining of the soul. This is what we were talking about last week. And in verse 38, we looked at the fact that it is the justified, the righteous ones, that has to now live out this Christian life by faith. And he encourages these Christians in the book of Hebrews not going back to Judaism, because we have the reality. They had the reality of Christ, the ministry of Christ fulfilled. And so now they have to come under the new covenant ministry and live out this life by faith, not under or according to the law, but according to faith and what Christ has already accomplished. Doing this, living this life out by faith, means that we don't live it by appearance. Walking by sight means that I got to see the answer. I got to have the solution. I got to feel emotionally satisfied. But walking by faith means I don't see the reality or the answer, but I believe because my faith substantiates. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence. I don't see it. See this? Mm-hmm. So we as Christians have to learn. He says in verse 38 that his righteous one or the just shall live by faith. See? So we're hoping to get into the great book or chapter 11 that talks about faith, the unique way of faith. And it shows examples of Old Testament believers who are witnesses of faith, how they had to go on not seeing the reality of things, but trusting God to the saving or the gaining of the soul, making them overcomers. Now, in this life, they may have suffered much. But in the kingdom age, they will gain much because they chose to lose their life as they know it. When you look at Moses, it says that Moses chose to suffer with the Israelites than to be seated in the palace of the Pharisee and become the next ruling or what have you, gain all the advantages that being the prince of Egypt or what have you, being there in the household of the Pharisees. He wanted to be with his people. See this? That's what faith is. Faith is not losing the soul life or losing your life as you know it. It means that you are willing to forsake and forfeit all the advantages and the enjoyments of this life and the pleasures of this life just to gain the next life, the more important, the reward of the next life, because you know that this is not our home, this is not this world isn't. Amen. And so even though we see many things going on in this world, and you may see people that may be very prosperous and evil, corrupt men that seem to be gaining, has the advantage in this life and has everything they need, guess what? In the next or in the kingdom age, which is the eternal kingdom, those folks will be destroyed. When you read in Revelation, you see where Christ extends his mercy, but he doesn't come as a lamb. He comes as the lion, as the judge, sitting on the throne, judging all men, all things. Okay? And when you see Christ as ruler of all things, he was given the authority because he was the only man to accomplish salvation and redemption and become ruler over everything in the heavens, in everything in the earth and under the earth. He was given a name above every name. So we will see Christ ruling and reigning from his throne, and judgment comes upon the earth. And the earth dwellers, those men that are on earth that dwell, his wrath being poured out upon those who refuse to submit to him and his way. Okay, so what we have to see now is those when in that time frame or during the time frame of his kingdom, the millennial kingdom, the reign of it, the rule of it, The overcomers come back fighting and ruling with Christ, ousting Satan and the Antichrist and all this. See, everybody's not going to come. Everybody that's living now that chose not to be overcomers, if you weren't an overcomer now, you won't be an overcomer then. You won't be able to stand up and fight and face the Antichrist. You won't be able to stand up and be the man child that's developed to oust Satan from his from the heavenlies and through with the angels. Y'all see what I'm saying? You won't be able to come back with Christ and in the battle of Armageddon as he comes and destroys those, the goat nations that were against the people of God and the Antichrist and Satan and all every false prophet and what have you. So this is why it's important. This is why we've been stuck here in Hebrews, because we need to see that just because I'm saved, that is the starting line. That is where I've been. I have to, and there's many people that have given their lives to Christ but been stuck for 50 years, 20 years, 30 years, have not allowed Christ to gain the victory over their lives or to hold them captives. See, our lives have to be, we have to become captured. He has to capture us, arrest us. Paul said, I want to know why I've been apprehended. And he told Paul, you will suffer much things for my name's sake. See, Paul was arrested or apprehended by Christ, and Paul submitted. He said, Lord. He called him Lord when he was knocked off his beast. Paul was a vessel used for God to express himself in and through him. Y'all see this?
Yes.
We are, once upon salvation, we are to be vessels to be used for God to work himself in and through us. He's got to work himself out. So this is the conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Christ is the firstborn son of many brethren. And we... He's the prototype that you and I must follow, must be created in the image and the likeness of. Okay? So many of us are still in our own image. We're in the image of Adam, put it that way, the old nature. And God wants us in the image of the last Adam, Christ. Any questions or comments before we, I'm going to have you to read verse 38 and 39 in chapter 10 in a second, Sister Cherry. Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay, let's go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38-39.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of souls.
Okay, now this saving of the soul, we talked about salvation and how salvation is big, and salvation is the full, we won't see the full salvation until the end when we're gone through the glorification, we go through justification, sanctification, and glorification, where God finally saves or redeems the bodies and the soul and the spirit, okay? But we right now are working towards the saving of the soul. We are being transformed, but we have to be willing to lose our life. See, the transformation and the saving of the soul is dependent upon you and I, our willingness to be transformed by his spirit. If I'm not willing to be for him to work out or my salvation, that's what it means, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in us. You and I have to let God have the latitude to work out his salvation, the resurrected life of Christ, whom we accepted upon salvation. He now wants to make his home, his abode in us. He wants to live out his life through us. And not too many of us are willing, because many of us walk by sight. Many of us walk by what we see, and this is the soul life, that we walk by how we, what we see, how we feel, our biases, our opinions. This is the mind, the thought life. You know, how we were brought up and everything in the natural life affects how I live for God, because many Christians are trying to live for God based upon the natural. So those opinions, and if you were hurt by racists and racism, and you view and people from the lens of racism, you will hinder or prevent the Spirit of God from having access to the soul life to transform it. This is why you can't get caught up with the news and all these. If you look at the TV, the all this stuff that comes on TV, it is used. It's a tool of Satan because it's a part of the world system. I'm not saying that everything that's on TV is evil, but I'm saying for the most part, what Satan used, the organizations and all these different things, they're used to keep our minds captive. Why do you think they promote racism all the time? And then when you look around in your personal life, do you see racism? Most of the time you see it and hear it on the news until it forms an opinion or a bias in your mind and you start believing the very thing you see and hear. This is how it works. So what you and I have to do, this is why he says, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the truth or of God. So they can make you form an opinion of someone based upon what the media reveals. And then when you go dig and get information, later on you find out the truth, but they won't harp on the truth because they've already put the, they've scandalized that person's name, and they don't come back and correct you. You'll see a small print where correction. But they don't advertise it like they did when they falsely, they made a false accusation or marred the person's name. Y'all see what I'm saying? But why? Because they cause people to look at others and form an opinion about them that they desire. They want us all to be divided, hate one another. This is the spirit that's at work in the world system today. And this is why you and I have to guard our hearts and our mind and our ears and our eyes in Christ and through Christ Jesus. Because it will affect, it will paralyze many of us from walking by faith. Mm-hmm. So these Hebrew Christians were going along well. But when the persecution came, they started looking and feeling a certain way. We all go through this. Fear grasps us. It takes over us. We become in mind and spirit, and we start worrying about our future and what's going to happen. And this is what the enemy wants. He told Peter, Christ said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed that your faith fail not. And that word sift means to sift us. It's an inward agitation to the point of overthrow. What is he trying to overthrow? Our faith. Through circumstances, through what we see, how we feel. This is why Peter could walk on the water of the word. Lord, bid me come. But as soon as he heard and saw what? Y'all help me out. When did he start sinking?
When he took his eyes off Jesus.
And what did he see? Remember, he was walking, and then he took his eyes off Jesus, but what did he put his eyes on? The wind and the waves and the, oh. Y'all understand? So when all that stuff, he put his eyes on, as soon as he put his focus on what he saw, then he start to sink, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the same for us. This is why it takes faith. He had enough faith to step out of the boat and to look at Jesus and walk towards him. This is an example of how you and I are to walk in this life and in this world system. It doesn't matter what happens to us in life. I have to keep my eyes stayed on him.
Right.
I have to keep my heart, my faith in Christ Jesus. You see this? Because if I don't, the surroundings, the things that I'm involved in will cause me to sink. And when he cried, God is right there. He cried out. He immediately pulled him up, right?
Yes.
So this is why faith is so important, because faith is God. What Paul was doing was encouraging them to go on, encouraging them to not look at their circumstances, but to keep trusting in Christ, whom you don't see, But after explaining these first 10 chapters of the book of Hebrews, he explains and revealed to them how Christ is better than the Old Testament, than the Aaronic priesthood, than Moses, than, y'all see what I'm saying, all these different things, and the sacrifices. There was a better promises with Christ, but they had to go on by faith and trust in him.
Yeah.
This is the same for you and I. This same word, I thank God for these Hebrew Christians being chastised and being Paul preaching to them this message, because it's for us today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We can look, laugh at them and say they should have just went on, but it's hard when you're in the midst of your difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to go on. So this word, the word of God, encourages this. It encouraged them, but it encourages us as well today to go on and to live this life by faith. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, if he shrinks back, my soul does not delight in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to what? To ruin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm reading in the expanded Greek translation.
Okay.
What does yours read? What does yours say, Sister Cher? Shrink back to what? Ruin? Is it the same?
Shrink. What will be 38?
39.
So, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Okay. So in the expanded Greek, it drawback means shrink back. Okay, it's the same as shrinking back. But we have to go on and go forward. We don't want to go backwards. We want to go on to what we are. But it says we are not of those who draw back or shrink back to ruin, but of those who have faith to the gaining of the soul. It is faith that's going to cause the soul to be gained, possessed, preserved, or saved. Your translation probably says saving of the soul, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So remember, we're a three-part being, and God wants to save us holistically, which is spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So remember, your soul is different from the spirit. Your soul is who you are, your mind, your will, and emotions, and the natural aspect that has to be saved, has to be transformed. So salvation, this is why I say when you and I give our lives to Christ, it is the starting block, because in my spirit, I'm regenerated. There, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. It regenerates or uplifts my human spirit, which entails my intellect, my conscience, and this is the place where God communes with man. Remember, God communed with Adam in the cool of the morning, and there was relationship. But when the fall came, the spirit, soul, body fell, and Satan used the body, the soul, in order, which is also called the flesh, in order to control or usurp man, the authority of man. So what Satan uses is our soulish man or our flesh. So this is why the cross has to deal with or has dealt with us body, soul, and spirit. This is why justification, we're justified. Upon salvation, he comes into our spirit. And from our spirit, he has to create our soul and sanctify us. Change and transform our mind, our will, and our emotions. And whoever, the spirit, the soul should be subjected to the spirit. And the body is subjected to the soul. So if the spirit controls your soul, and we allow the spirit of God through denial of self, remember, your soul life is your self life, because it is your mind, your opinions, your biases, your personality, all those things, we must become captives or captured by Christ. So he gets the spirit. Now he's ready to settle down and permeate and make himself at home throughout my whole temple, the body. I'm the temple of the Lord. And not every Christian is willing to allow him to do this.
Amen.
See? Now, Krista, this is shrinking back and saying, y'all started out, y'all said y'all following Christ. But we have to keep moving with Christ, going on with him, trusting him. But the only way to go on so that he can capture and gain me is through denial of self, picking up the cross, and following him. I have to carry my cross. The cross that I carry and you carry is that I have to be terminated. The negative aspects of the fall in my life has to be terminated on a daily basis so that the life, the resurrected life of Christ, can uplift me back to my original, his original intent and purpose, which was in back at the beginning when I was created. God created man for man to be in the image so that man could be a vessel. And to be so that God could express himself in and man, and God could allow his authority to be shown through man in the earth. This is what we will get back to, and when we get to Revelation, ultimately in the end, you will see man, the New Jerusalem, the city of God, which are all the saints who have been transformed, who are living stones. And with Christ, the bride of Christ, y'all see? So all of us have to be transformed either now, and when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, what he does is he's going to see, judge the works, see who allowed his salvation to be worked out in him. And if I come up to him and all I have is wood, hay, and stubble, which represent the natural aspects of who I am, then God says, depart from me. I know you not. I never came to know you in an experiential way so that my life could settle down in you. You're saved, but I never got a chance to know you experientially. I never was allowed to be make you an overcomer in this life. So what's to happen is that believer will suffer loss. And he will be saved, but yet as through or by fire. And that points to, and we read in Hebrews, that if you go back to ruin or go back to the Old Testament, there is a much sorer or worse punishment. So there's a punishment because each of us got to be brought up to what God required us to be. So I either do it now or God deals with me later. And it just reveals that those who are the overcomers now get to rule and reign with him if we suffer with him.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So you say the believer will suffer loss, okay? And you say there is a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But will they still be in heaven? Will they still go to heaven?
Oh, yes, they're like, saved. They're saved.
Uh-huh. Right.
But remember, during the millennial reign, there's 1,000 years, and those mm-hmm. overcomers will be those that allow God's work to take place in their life will be with Christ ruling and reign. But there is a heavenly part, and this is where the other believers are, and these believers have to be disciplined and have to be brought up to the standard. We don't just go, it's just like going to school, and if you go to school and you don't do your schoolwork and you just never do all your assignments and then it comes time for the end of the year for you to pass, you'll fail, right?
Right.
So you don't get rewarded by being given, going up to the next grade. What happens is you got to go back
mm-hmm.
and deal with the discipline. Once the parents discipline you or the teacher or whomever because you didn't do the assignment, the discipline is simply used to get you and I to go on and finish the assignment.
Right.
The discipline, just because we get disciplined doesn't mean that I just jump and go to the next grade. No, if I have to go back to that, repeat that grade or what have you, I got to get those assignments, learn it, and blah, 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 before I can go forward. You're still a student. You're still your parents' child, but you still have to be disciplined until that child matures to be able to go to the next level. Y'all see what
okay.
I'm trying to say?
Uh-huh.
So So we're still a child of God. God doesn't get rid of us. We're sealed to the day of redemption. The Spirit of God is in us, but God has to discipline us until we get to the point. And if you read in Revelation, the churches, you see the discipline. You see the discipline of the church. And in some of those churches, he tells them, if you don't go on and be, he said, if you go on and you be an overcomer, you'll be saved from the hour of testing, the hour of the tribulation. Y'all see where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them would have to be, if they refuse to overcome Jezebel, the spirit of the Nicolaitan, the spirit and the doctrines of Jezebel and all those different things that were going on in the church, they left their first love, and Christ says, you need to come back up to, you need to go back to your first love. If they refuse to heed Christ's warning, see, he's trying to grow them up. He says, then you will... Certain things would happen to each one in those different churches. Some of them would have to go through the tribulation, the hour of testing, all those different things. My point is, easier now to lose your life. It'll be harder then.
Right.
Y'all see what I'm saying? Because it will be, things will be much different on the earth than they are now.
Okay.
So when you look at the Apostle Paul, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, okay? Let me see if I want to go there. The Apostle Paul was saved, and the Apostle Paul was a believer. But you'll notice that he continually was talking about how he didn't want to be a reprobate. He didn't want to lose the reward. He encouraged them to go on and to – let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So I want y'all to see this here. He was encouraging them to go on so that they wouldn't lose the reward. He wasn't talking about the reward of salvation, eternal salvation. That we don't work for that. We don't have to earn that. But the kingdom reward – the work is that simply we let Christ work be worked out in us. And that's where many of us fail and falter. We get knowledge, we quote the scriptures, we learn the scriptures and we can say them, but do we know what they mean? Are we applying them? See what I'm saying? And so let me see where I want to get here, what he was talking about. Let's go to verse in chapter 9, verse 22.
2.
22, I'm trying to make sure that's the one.
That is?
Uh-huh.
To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Okay. So Paul is not talking about his salvation, whether or not he's going to die, he's going to go to hell. He's not talking about working to earn eternal salvation. That's established. That's known. But what he's talking about is continuing to strive to become Christ-like. He's striving for a reward. He's reaching for a goal. And so, meaning that he's saved, he's a Christian, and he's not concerned about going to heaven. But what he's concerned about is doing all that God required of him while he's here on earth.
Amen.
So he says, to the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for what? The gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So they're talking about this partaker or partaker of the kingdom reward. So know you not what? That they which run in a race run all. So we're all called into this Christian race. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher, let us run this race with patience, laying aside every weight and sin that easily beset us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And run this race with patience. How? Looking to Jesus.
Yeah.
So we're in a race. Once we get saved, that's God. That part is done. We're saved. Nothing we could do to earn it. Nothing we can do that we deserve it. We're saved. But now that I'm saved, I have to run this race. How? With patience.
Patience.
Looking to Jesus. All this by faith.
Amen.
See, so he's encouraging them. He says, I became weak to those that were weak so that I can gain them. He gained them and that some were saved. And now that they're saved because of the gospel and became a partaker, now they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So he's encouraging them. So run that you may obtain. See this? This is what we're called to do. Once after we're saved, we should be encouraging people to run. The running is going forward. You don't run backwards, right?
Right.
We're going somewhere. We're going forward. So what do you say in 25? And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. And when you read in Revelations, you'll see folks around the throne and people in heaven that get rewarded, all these different things. So what we're running for is eternal. It will manifest itself in the future. This is why we have to have faith, because we don't see it in the natural.
Right.
But those who believe, we go on believing by faith to the gaining of the soul. Because eventually the kingdom reward will be the gain. That's the gain we get for losing our life in this life. This is why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't mind losing their going on into the fire, because their lives was in the hand of God. They didn't, oh, Lord, it's a fire. They said, no, if the Lord want to save us, he will. See how much faith and trust we have to have in our God?
Mm-hmm.
When
Amen.
We're encountering difficult situations, I have to rest in him. Because if we don't rest, we find ourselves busily trying to fix the problem and in the way of God, and it becomes frustration to the resurrected life that's in us, because we're hindering him from working things out and working in us. So before he can work in us, he has to work out everything that's not like him, and then work himself in. This is the allowing the law of life to have free reign or latitude to develop us. And not many Christians, because we want to hold on to our opinions. We want to hold on to this is me, and that's who I always been, and I'm not going to bend or bow. That's not the Christian life that God requires. So there has to be a transformation. If you as a Christian are not willing to lay aside your thoughts, even now, some of the things that we thought we knew,
mm-hmm.
you got to be willing to say, you know what, I lay this aside, and Lord, show truth. I may have been brought up in the Baptist church or in the Church of God in Christ, and we thought this way, and we thought this doctrine, but Lord, teach me, show me your ways.
Yeah.
I got willing every day to lay aside every bias, every belief, every opinion that's contrary to him. If I'm willing, I'm one that wants to just hold on to it and fight to hold it, then you're going to find yourself wrestling with God, and there will be no transformation. So he says, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Mm-hmm. So listen, all, I therefore so run, not as uncertain. So fight I not as one that beats the air. There's a lot of Christians that's going through religious acrobats or religious circles and or running a race, and they're just going just like the Israelites were in the wilderness. They were going in circles 40 years but getting nowhere. That's beating at the air.
Amen.
Paul said, I'm not fighting this Christian just beating at the air, going through things and going through the motions, but there's no transformation in my life. But what does he do? I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Y'all see this? Paul did not want to be a castaway. He didn't want to preach to others one thing, but yet he was on the verge of losing the reward or not being transformed by the power that was in him, the Spirit of God. And that word castaway means disapproved. Okay? Understand that. He says he did not want to be disapproved. It doesn't mean that he was going to go to hell or anything. He's saying he didn't want to be disapproved by God at the judgment seat. He didn't want to lose or suffer a loss. He had to learn to bring his body under the subjection. This is what you and I, the losing or the gaining goal, it means that I have to lose my life. I have to learn to bring my body under the subjection of Jesus Christ. Why? So when you preach to others, you won't be disapproved.
Right. Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? This is why it's important in Hebrews. He's encouraging these believers to go on and run your race. Don't get caught up in what you see and how you feel, the persecution. Go on in your race and be transformed.
Amen.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it's important that we see we have to allow the transformation process to take place. Otherwise, we'll be disqualified. The word castaway means disapproved or disqualified or rejected or unworthy of the prize. So it says the apostle was surely saved by grace through faith in Christ. Not only so, he was called to be an apostle to carry out the New Testament economy. Nonetheless, here he was very much on the alert to run his course by subduing his body to serve his holy purpose, that he might not be disapproved and rejected at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. And he wanted to be found and be found. He didn't want to be found unworthy of the reward of the coming kingdom. And that's Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And chapter 25, 11 through 12. This is where they said, Lord, we cast out demons in your name and we did all these many things, and he says, depart from me, I know you not. They were disqualified, rejected, unworthy of the prize. And it was the same with the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. They did not receive the reward of Canaan because the word preach was not mixed with faith. That's in Hebrews 4 and 2. Said the same word that was preached to them is preached unto us, but the word preach was not mixed with faith. So just because I know the word, quote the word, and hear the word, doesn't mean, and sitting under the word, does not mean that I'm applying faith. Any questions before we go on? So in chapter 11, we're going to see the importance of faith, okay? The importance of faith. This is why Paul, he was encouraging these believers to go on through the persecution by exhibiting faith. So if you are not willing to lose the If you're shrinking back to ruin, you're shrinking back to the soulish enjoyments, the worldly entertainments, and the religious activities that this world has to offer. So by doing that, you're forfeiting the life, the enjoyment of Christ, the life of Christ being worked out in you and I, so that we can go on and gain the reward. Many people can't deal with ridicule and persecution and the world looking down and snubbing you, or the religious world rejecting you, not allowing you place in their behind their pulpits, or you to do things according to the leading of the Spirit. Many people can't handle that. And so what do? We seek to find place that will accept us. You and I were called in a world that's totally contrary to the kingdom of God. When Christ walked in the earth, or came into the earth, tabernacled in flesh, everybody marveled at his speech, marveled at his miracles, marveled at how he healed and handled situations in the Pharisees. Why? Even the demons marveled and paid obedience or homage to him, because what? They knew him. He was on display. Mm-hmm. In the same way, you and I are to walk this earth or live this Christian life and marvel by the world system. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. Mm-hmm. Not different in the way of agitating and frustrating people and being a thorn and always complicating things. No. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. See what I'm saying? You and I are not to frustrate mankind and people, because we're trying to compel them to Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The religious people were a frustration to Christ. And he countered them by exposing what the true kingdom was, and they couldn't deal with it. So they were frustrated because they refused, and they wrestled with God because they wanted their doctrine and their religion over the way of Christ. We are to be different. We are to have peace with that, love our enemies, do good. You know, how we present ourselves to others will reveal how Christ is able to work in us to compel them to come to Christ. See, there should be an aroma about you and I.
Yeah.
If the aroma that you display cause people to turn their nose up. See, you and I have to check ourselves, because mm-hmm. Christ's aroma draws. It draws those who are hungry, who are thirsty for truth and righteousness. Now, it'll be a stench in the nose of those who reject Christ as truth, but even so, I'm still to present myself as a living sacrifice so that God can work in me and through me. Amen?
Miss Pig, it's just like when you present yourself to others and you give them Christ in a loving way, and you tell them, you explain to them, instead of hollering and saying, yeah, you know, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, you got to do that. But if you give it to them in a loving way, and Christ, the way Christ, because Christ, he didn't holler, he didn't, he just went gave it to them in a loving way, and people accepted it or they didn't.
Right.
That's the way we are supposed to, you know.
Amen. Christ was to those that were sick and those that needed a way out and was in oppressed and in bondage. He came humble, meek, and mild. To those that were religious, you notice that he opposed them, but even so, he wasn't yelling and screaming or what have you. Because look at Nicodemus and look at Joseph of Arimathea, how they came out of the religious circle. Because remember, you're always, our life is on display, and you don't know who's watching.
Right.
So a lot of times, our natural way of doing things, we think that's right, but it's not. In the eyes of God, God is frustrated by us operating according to the flesh, according to our natural instinct and who we are. It frustrates not only God, but it frustrates man, people. And you and I have to learn to let Christ live his life out through us. And that's where many of us are not willing to lose our life for his sake, so that we can find true life. And this true life is found in Matthew 5. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the meek and those, all those things he's saying. This is from the kingdom perspective. When we allow God to work out and work in us, the kingdom life starts being revealed in and through us. And you mourn because of your sin. You mourn because of the condition of the world, and you see sin taking over and all these different things. It's blessed that mourn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the condition, they shall be comforted, and blessed are the meek. This is speaking to those who allow his spirit to come forth in their lives so that the resurrected Christ can permeate, have control, transform us from naturally depending on our love, our kindness, our way of doing things, so that his life come forth. So when his life comes forth, he says, blessed are you because you're poor in spirit, meaning that I was willing to decrease so that his life could come forth in me. So what does he say? For theirs is the kingdom of God. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is the millennial reign, the millennial kingdom coming down on earth and Christ ruling the earth and nations.
Yeah.
You and I will be ruling with Christ. There will be nations that need to be governed, and they fall under the rulership of Christ. Then he says, blessed are they that mourn because of our condition and because of sin. What does he say? You shall be comforted. This is in Matthew 5. Then he says, blessed are the meek. See, he's speaking to those who have allowed this life, this kingdom life, or the life of Christ to transform them, and our living is not according to this natural life. It's according to the kingdom.
Amen.
So these folks that are meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. See, you're not hungering and thirsting after power and position and what this world has to offer, but you and I, like the woman at the well, she may have gone in looking for physical water, right? But she left the pot and said, come see a man that told me all that I ever was.
Yes.
See, the physical things could not satisfy, and he says, for they shall be filled. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in this life can satisfy us. I don't care how big of a house we have, how many cars we have, all the material things. They don't, they're not, they, you ha, you thankful for them, but they don't fill the void in our lives.
Amen.
Our soul is so big that only God can fill it. Then he says, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. See, we have to be peacemakers, not around causing problems, disturbing people, frustrating them. You and I are to be peacemakers. The peacemakers draw others.
Yes.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This was the Hebrew Christians in the book of Hebrews. They were being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, don't go and create problems, and then when stuff get, the thing get heated up, you're talking about, oh, I'm being persecuted. No. Persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the gospel's sake, for standing for what's right according to the word. What does he say? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the millennial kingdom. The kingdom starts now. When you and I accept Jesus Christ, see the reality of it, this is the reality of the kingdom while we're here on earth in the church age. You will experience these things that he's talking about here, but the manifestation of it starts or is revealed when Christ comes down and rule physically on the earth. So he says, and blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward.
Amen.
In heaven. It's not talking about your salvation, whether you're going to be saved or not. You're already saved. He's already talking to these folks, they're believers. But he says, great is your reward. When you and I allow Christ's life to develop us and transform us, you will be able to stand under the weight of the persecution. You will not care when they call you all manner of evil and falsely accuse you for his sake. You will not fight to defend yourself. You will not fight to try to fix the problem. But what you do is rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is what? Your reward in heaven. Then he says, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now let's go, if there are no questions, let's go to chapter 11. Any questions before we go further? Let's see how much time I got. Okay, we got a few minutes. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. And so as we go over here in Hebrews, he's talking about, now notice, and when I just read that in Matthew, it says, for so persecuted they which were before you. And this is in Hebrews 11, it's talking about faith, and it will give us examples of those who've gone before us and how through faith they were able to withstand and have the endurance and the strength to stand under the weight of the trial. Unlike these Hebrew Christians on the verge of shrinking back or drawing back instead of going forward by faith to the gaining of the soul. So let's start here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Okay, so here, let's look at this again. It says, after presenting in the first 10 chapters a thorough comparison of Judaism and God's economy, this book charges the Hebrew believers who were in danger of shrinking back to live, to walk, and to go on by faith. That is, not by appearance. We walk by faith and not by what?
Sight.
So then in chapter 11, he's going on to define faith according to the history of faith. So both the eternal inheritance, which is in Hebrews 19, and the great reward, which is Hebrews 10, promised by God are things hoped for and things not seen. So we were saved by faith, and the eternal reward will be by faith. We don't see the full salvation yet, the completion of it, and we don't see the eternal inheritance, I mean, the reward, the great reward that's promised to us yet, but it's hoped for. Mm-hmm. See, it's hoped for. So faith is the substantiation of those things hoped for. In other words, we substantiate, if I'm in here and I'm drinking water from a cup, I know it's a cup because I see it. I feel it. I can touch it, right? I can taste it. So I know it's water in a cup because of those things that I use to substantiate that fact. So, but what about the things I don't see, the eternal salvation? Even though I may have hang-ups and hook-ups and I may have problems and issues in life, I'm eternally saved, right? And I'm being worked upon so that I can gain the reward. So I may not see it, feel it, understand it, but it is faith that substantiates the fact that this work is going on and it's going to be revealed in the last time, in the last day. Yeah, that makes sense?
Amen.
Amen. So faith is used just like your eyesight is used to substantiate the fact I'm holding a cup or touching a cup. Faith is used to substantiate what I'm hoping for.
Yes.
See, it's, faith is the substance. It's the substantiation of things hoped for, but the evidence of things I don't see. You see this?
Yes.
It may not have materialized yet. So when you have problems and circumstances, we so quick to give up and give in and throw in the towel or try to, you know, jump to something to fix the problem or whatever it is. We have to let faith work in us.
Amen.
Let faith substantiate what we don't see. And see, this is how Satan gets us, because he knows we walk by sight in most cases. And God says, no, the just shall live by faith. We're justified to live this life, walk this life, and run this race in this life by faith. So faith is the substantiation of things hoped for. Hence, it is the assurance, the confidence, and the confirmation or the reality and the supporting ground of things we hope for. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's also the conviction of things that we don't see. So, in other words, you know how the world was formed. Did I see when God formed the world? Did I see when he created man and blew breath into Adam? No. But faith causes me, it's a conviction that I have of things not seen. It convinces me on what I do not see. Understand that. So it's the evidence or the proof of things I don't see. So hence, we don't walk by sight or appearance. How do we walk or live?
By faith.
Right. And living by faith means that we will use faith to substantiate what we are hoping for. The world don't understand. You may have been pronounced with a sickness, but something in you causes you to continue to hope.
Yes.
Not to bow down to the sickness, not to bow down to the circumstance, but your faith substantiates the fact, I don't see it, but I hope for it, and faith will cause it to materialize.
Mm-hmm.
How he's going to do it, I don't know, but I leave that in his capable hands, and I rest in the fact that it is finished.
Yes.
See this? And this is what this book is going to show us. This book, this chapter is going to show us how these patriarchs and all these other folks that went before us, the prophets and whatever, they walked based upon what they did not see. And they even didn't see it. See, most of us won't do or move or trust until we can see it. But God says, Thomas, Don't believe me just because you see and you can touch my wounds. But there are some people that don't see, but yet they believe. Y'all see what I'm saying? Thomas said, I won't believe unless I can touch and see his wound. But blessed are they who believe yet have not seen or touched. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Amen.
All right. Let's keep going. So faith is the substantiation of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Amen.
Amen. Keep going, verse 2.
For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Okay, so all things hoped for are things not seen. And that's in Romans 8:24-25. As people of hope, we should aim our life not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So we have to walk by faith and not appearance, right? So we see that the elders obtain a good testimony. Keep going.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying.
Keep going.
God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
You see this? It was faith, Abel's faith, that caused him to offer to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel was convicted. And it says, by faith we understand that the universe, has been framed by the word. Like we said before, we weren't there. We didn't see it. By faith that we believe it, right? So, and we're going to close on this, right, because our time is up. But it says, from this chapter presents to us a brief history of faith from God's creation through all the generation of God's chosen people to the New Testament believers to prove that faith is a unique pathway by which God's seekers receive his promise and take his way. So in order to take God's way and to go forward and not shrink back, you and I have to have faith.
Yes.
Because faith causes us, it builds our conviction. See this? It builds, as I trust God, even though, like, Peter didn't know if the water would, he could walk on the water, but he said, Lord, bid me come. By faith, he looked to Christ, and he walked. He caused him to get out of the boat and walk. But as soon as he based things upon appearance, remember, we said he starts sinking, right? So you and I in this life, it's the same thing. When you start looking at things or basing things upon the appearance, you start, it's no different than looking at all the things that surround us, and we start drowning in the water, start drowning. And so it is faith. Peter had to have faith to cry out unto Christ. Even if we start drowning, you and I still have to, by faith, cry out to Christ, and he will pull us up. So your failures can be a good thing if we learn from it.
Yes.
We have to learn. So in our circumstance, you and I will fail. You and I will do things wrong. We will get it wrong every time. But your failure is used by God to teach you and I that we have to walk this thing out by faith, that my efforts won't work, that my trusting in and entrusting in what I see will not work. It is faith that God is after, and the only way he can build our faith is by us trusting him day by day in the little things. And as we trust him in the little things, it gives us the confidence to go forward and to go on. This is why he says, cast not away your confidence. They had enough confidence to believe God to leave Judaism. But contemplating going back to it, he said, don't throw away the confidence that God developed in you because you exhibited faith. Don't throw it away. Many of us are on the verge of throwing away the very confidence we had to trust God in other difficulties. And because of what you're facing now, you're about to throw away the confidence that can give you a recompense of great reward. You see what I'm saying? You cannot throw away the confidence that God used to build you and I up through faith to trust him and to gain hope. And because of my present circumstance, I'm willing to throw it away because of what I'm facing right now. No, you and I must go on and base things not upon what we see, but what we don't see.
Amen.
So on that note, I'm going to have to close. And what we don't see, we don't see the throne of God. We don't see Christ sitting at the right hand in the temple, in the holy place, holy of holies. See, we don't see that. We don't see the fact that it is finished and that when he died, he completed all things. And he's encouraging us as our high priest to go forward to where he is in the heavenlies, trusting by faith. That's what it means to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we will take questions and comments. So those on the line, hold on. And we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And we pray that some things were said that will help you in your walk. So until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.